You're damn right we start now. It is In the Loop. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Atatula. Man, exciting Wednesday. Especially because, and I'm just waiting for Fig at this point. I'm just figuring out the time. We have to appreciate the fact that this happened last night.
Yeah.
Got him for the fourth year in a row and the seventh consecutive full season. The Astros are the AL West champions.
And they clinch it against the team they had to chase down early in the season. 10 games back to win their fourth straight division title.
It looked early in the season like the train might be off the track, but this Astros locomotive is relentless.
Yeah, man. Houston Astros, AL West division champions for 2024. Following in line with 2023 and 2022 and 2021, 2019, 2018, 2017. Right, like, I just fantastic. And even with that being the case, even with all the success, seven division titles in the last eight seasons, right? Like, even with all of that, your eighth playoff appearance coming up in a row. Sean Pendergast, as that audio is playing, with a hoodie on.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Had the goosies.
Still had the chill bumps.
Had the goosies. Yeah. No doubt about
he
it.
Said chill bumps. I always find it interesting that people have different... Some people say goose pimples, which is also very weird to me.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that's the first time I've ever said chill bumps?
Oh, so
it's weird. It's, okay. I don't use that normally, but for whatever reason, I did right there.
You were in such a post-coital right state.
Yes.
Goosies covers it all. I got the goosies.
I don't know if I like
ain't
that.
Nobody
saying goosies. I don't like that. But yeah, man, like, what a fantastic moment. And I know that, look, this is a team that has been there, done that, and like a successful team where the expectation largely is not division championship. It is ALCS. It is World Series contention. However, I don't want to be so jaded to this that we don't appreciate, one, the title itself, and two, how we got there, right? And so I kind of want to just take a moment to appreciate the adversity and the things that the Astros traversed through to get here, right? And so let's do an accounting, if you don't mind.
Let's do an accounting.
Before we do a full accounting, I do want to say, isn't it really, I always find it interesting, the dude who gets to be on the mound, or the dude who gets to be the final lasting image of that exact moment when the clinching happens, because shout out to Josh Hader, right? Yeah, he got to be that guy in this instance, right?
Well, the thing I loved about this one is I loved about that final call is because he said it. Like, you know, I thought they were done. Everybody, you know, as we've talked about.
Oh,
that.
Buddy.
Yeah, we've talked
you
about
sure
that.
You sure did.
Yeah, I
well,
did.
We can talk about it some more right now.
We can. I thought they were done. They were 7-19. Todd Callis thought they were done.
Yeah.
Like, he said it in the final
don't
call.
Don't try to bring nobody else in.
No. Let me explain.
Nah, it was you, buddy.
No, it was. I'm not running away
you
from
left
that.
Him out
he was talking God. About you.
No, I'm not. But he said the train, it looked like the train was off the rails.
Absolutely.
That wasn't my opinion.
Honestly, that's, well, I mean, it was your opinion.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Died.
Last night,
but
it wasn't
look at Lopez trying to bring
people
in.
Hold on.
He said, wait, don't jump me.
No, what I'm saying is, like, everybody felt the same way.
Right.
Everybody felt the same
way. It was an objective way of looking at it, that it felt like the train was off the tracks. Because one of the obvious things, at various points, at a couple of points in the season, you were 12 games under 500.
Yeah. 7-19.
You were 7-19. Like, this is the only team in MLB history, if my memory serves me correctly, to win a division after being 7-19.
In June. They had a 10% chance of winning the division.
That is correct. You were seven games back. This is the interesting one, because Dana Brown, I was stuck on Space City Home Network all night with all of the celebrations and watching them do that, which it was really funny. At one point, when Kyle Tucker was being interviewed by Julie Morales, he says, you know, he's just real cool, right? Julie is able to ask him, like, hey, what do you do in these moments? And he's like, well, first of all, make sure that the music's on, because nobody's worried about that. And I'm like, how lucky is it? Or how, maybe not even lucky, because you earned your way here multiple times, but it's incredible. The place that you are at when you have a standard routine for celebrations. I know that I'm going to be here, or at least when I am here, these are the things that I do. But in the course of that, right, like, Dana Brown, after the game, was being asked on the field, like, hey, what was the moment? Because there was plenty of moments that were down where it was like, hey, that you it was tough for you. And it wasn't the 12 games under 500. It wasn't quite the 7-19. It was when you were seven games back and Kyle Tucker goes down. because like that's a tough place to be. And that's also because Kyle Tucker is not even the tip of the iceberg when you talk about the amount of injuries that they overcame.
Oh, come on.
Do we want to do that accounting?
Let's go.
JP France had, actually, I'm starting at the back. Luis Garcia had Tommy John last year.
Never saw him.
Out for season. Lance McCullers Jr. had elbow surgery last year.
Never saw him.
Kendall Graveman.
That guy, too.
Shoulder surgery. Honestly, forgot he was on the team.
Me, too.
Didn't see him at all. Right? And then I mentioned Kyle Tucker, who we thought at that point had a contusion. Right? He just had a bruise.
Three months
without one of your best players, right? And in a position where you were not really well suited to miss that guy in the outfield, right? 3 months with him out, and while you were in a down part, right? Let's see. Jose Urquidy, Tommy John surgery.
Done.
Out for the season, right? Like, how many starting pitchers have I named right now? Let's add another one. Christian Javier. Out for the season, right? Like, you are dealing with a ton of starting pitchers that are gone. Mm-hmm. And yet and still, right, I was looking at this last week. When it comes into the postseason, I think it was The Athletic was power ranking starting pitching third.
Yeah.
Third, right? Like, you were able to get incredible starting pitching even with all of those guys missing. Missing time to injury. Don't forget, Victor Caratini missed about a month.
Him
with
too.
An injury. JP France, who I mentioned, went out for a season. Like, you had so many dudes that you lost during the course of this, and you still got incredible play. Like, just the resilience of this team.
And we're going to get into the resilience, but the, you know, when you talk about how they got here, you know, to have, you know, a third general manager make moves that got you here is absolutely incredible. Because let's be very honest about this. Without Yusei Kikuchi.
Yes.
Ben Gamel.
Yes.
Jason Hayward.
Correct.
John Singleton.
Yeah.
You don't win it.
That's true.
Flat out. Or at least you don't win it last night.
Right. maybe you're able to cobble together even more. Because, again, what are we talking about? Starting pitching. You've cobbled some things together.
Yeah.
You say literally the team won nine out of the nine starts that he had.
Yeah.
Right? And he is positioned to be your best, one of your two best pitchers. Right? He is absolutely going to be one of the guys that you send out there in the first two games of the wild card series and any further series that you go after that during the course of this postseason run. And that was something that he got a lot of flack for.
Yeah.
Got a lot of flack for that move and how much he gave up. And I still think that there's things that remain to be seen on the back end of it, which primarily is, do you re-sign Yusei, right? Because the rental that you got, like, I think that is where some of the value propositions are. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you this flat out. Even if you don't re-sign him, Worth the trade? Worth the value the trade at this point?
Absolutely. It already is. Like I said, you don't win it without those guys, especially Kikuchi, on the mound and certainly Hayward of late. You don't win it. You don't win it without him, especially when you consider Kyle Tucker and the outfield issues, the starting pitching. You just went through them all.
Oh, and I forgot. Remember Ronel Blanco got suspended too?
And Ronel Blanco as well getting suspended. It's uncanny how and we'll get into this later, but it's uncanny how winning is not what they do, it's what they are. They are a winning team, because to be able to do it consistently with just an array of cast of characters is absolutely incredible. And you know, to have that bad a start, a team that has accomplished that much, that had that many injuries, it would have been so easy to say, you know what, not our year. A lot of teams say, you know, it's just not our year. Things are going bad. But as much as that was the case, and the little moves they made, we do have a little bit of it's uncanny to have a bench coach who knew that winning is what they are, that stayed positive in Joe Espada.
Oh, when you said bench coach, I was like, wait, what are we doing?
Bench coach that became manager.
Yeah.
You know, that stayed positive.
And Dana Brown talked about, right, the idea of, you know, Espada. But I think it was really impactful for me hearing Alex Bregman after talking about the impact that Joe Espada had on this team.
He was consistent all year long. He never lost faith in this group and continued to believe in us and continue to work hard. And, just super consistent.
That's been.
I like that song in the background.
Yeah, they were jamming in there.
Make it rain, make it rain.
They were jamming in there. And I imagine, as I mentioned earlier, that might have been Kyle Tucker's work. We might need to go and check on that because it seems like that's what he does, make sure that the vibes are high. But yeah, Joe Espada, like we mentioned Dana Brown. We got to give him some credit, as mm-hmm. you mentioned. Like, dudes on the scrap heap weren't very important. I know Ben Gamble's on the IL and maybe was not as front of mind, I guess mm-hmm. is the words that I need to use here. But like, he was important in a time where you did not have much in the outfield. Then you go get Jay Hay, right? You go get a five-time Gold Glover who is, you know, a little bit older and kind of was disposed of in some ways.
He was DFA'd.
Yeah.
He was sent to the scrap heap.
And you were like, here, let's just go ahead and give that a shot, right? Like, and he comes in, and not only is he impactful in this game, mm-hmm. big catch in the outfield where his hand goes through the out-of-town scoreboard in the Crawford boxes, and you look like he might come out. Then he comes back up and has one of the major big hits in this game, right? Like, it's just been incredible the various ways that they get things done. But going back, right, Dana Brown, in adding the pieces that he has that he added to help them, you know, get through the tough stretches and really ultimately find themselves to this place where they're the AOS champions again. Joe Espada deserves a lot of credit, and especially he deserves it full-throatedly because there was a lot of folks out here that were not rocking with him, that had real concerns about him, mm-hmm. and you have many of the principals in this stepping up and saying, hey, Joe Espada deserves credit for keeping us even kilter, keeping us going during the tough times.
Remember, there were times when notable players anonymously were saying, the lack of communication, there's communication problem. Remember that, Figgy, in the clubhouse? Well, that all pointed to Joe Espada. There were times, and especially, let's not forget, Jose Abreu dismantled the start of this team, was a big part of dismantling the start of this team, and they stayed true to him to a fault almost, and then ultimately pulled the plug on Abreu. That is all general manager and manager trying to figure out what could possibly get them right, and ultimately they did.
Yeah. Another thing that we have to appreciate during the course of this, we've talked about all the injuries that you had starting pitching wise. We got to give a lot of credit to Spencer Arrighetti, mm-hmm. Hunter Brown, for figuring things out and ultimately stepping up into roles that I don't know that we fully anticipated them doing, right? Mm-hmm. Hunter Brown was very good last year, but it tailed off, mm-hmm. right? He was not able to keep that going. That is not the story of this year.
Yeah. No, it's not the story of this week.
Got better, stayed good all the way through. Spencer Arrighetti found himself as a hometown kid mm-hmm. to give you another one. And I guess, I need to give some appreciation to Hunter Brown because you say to be one of the two guys that go. It's probably Fromber and Hunter Brown, actually, that goes 1-2. And then we're talking about Yusei.
Yeah.
Right? So I also am in this place where I was not giving Hunter Brown enough due. He absolutely deserves it, and he has been incredible for you. I think I don't know if there's another word that you can use.
It's just like a common thread among the pitching staff to be able to find something that wasn't there before. It's a common thread with this organization to be able to find something that wasn't there before. And that speaks to the organization. That speaks to the manager. That speaks to the culture that is here. And I know we're going to talk about that again later. But like the fact that you have Hunter Brown sort of flailing up and down. Fromber, frankly, flailed a little bit up and down. Kikuchi, who was really nothing. You know, he was a guy that we Figgy and I both were like, man, I don't know about this cat when they brought him in. You know, fingers crossed.
I think he had like a 4-something ERA.
Yeah, and then comes earlier. in and does that. That's not that's not a magic pill. You know, that's the way that this organization has operated and been able to build these guys and fit them in to what they do. And like I said, winning is not what they do; it's what they are.
Yeah,
you know,
especially because if it was just what they do, you would not end up in this place with three different front offices and three different head coaches mm-hmm. or managers, rather. In this run of 7 AL West championships in 8 years. In fact, that you had a four-peat when it comes to AL West championships, which is the first time it's happened in the AL West mm-hmm. since the 71 to 75 span with the Oakland A's, right? You're talking about Reggie Jackson. You're talking about Raleigh Fingers. I think at one point, Vita Blue. Mm-hmm. Right? You're talking about those A's. That is the last time it has happened in this AL West that you've seen this level of dominance.
We're talking about a team that is no longer, hey, are they a dynasty? Look, and I know you have to get to the ALCS and the World Series to truly cement it. But in terms of like eras of winning, the Astros right now are in Yankee territory from back in the day. Like it's automatic that, you know, you have to get through Houston. You have to be able to get, and it's very, very hard. The only year that they didn't win the division over the last 8 years,
shortened season,
was the COVID year.
Yeah, shortened season.
And so, like, they are the modern day Yankees. In other words, like, everyone has to focus on them, or else you're probably going to lose to them.
Yeah,
you know,
because it's not just that. Then they, once they get to the postseason, they go and deliver in that way too, yeah. Right? Like, it's the, what was it, the earliest exit was the ALCS, mm-hmm. that seven game seven situation,
yeah,
right? Like, that is a testament to what this team is, what they've done. And what was lovely about last night was that it was last night as opposed to tonight or in this upcoming series against the Guardians, right? It gives them an opportunity to now look forward and put themselves in a best position to succeed, mm-hmm. when it comes to the wild card series. Because one of the things that's tough, like, you had all this adversity and you're still going through it, right? We still know that Yordan has that knee sprain that you have to try and manage. Hey, man, Jose Altuve has played literally the most games that he's played.
Isn't that something?
Since, what was that, 17, I think, the last time I checked. And especially, like, most at-bats, right? And it's just a lot for a dude who is of his age, right? And, of course, I say that and I recognize that we're doing the sports thing again where it's like, he's 35 years old, a modern marvel, right? How is he doing? It's like, hey, 35 ain't that old in, like, average life. But in baseball and sports,
especially
years,
with that much tread.
And playing in the middle infield,
yeah.
Right? Like, that. So, managing to give some people rest. In fact, Joe Espada talking
we'll see you in the postseason.
The benefit of this, he actually was talking about what this means, getting this done with four games remaining.
We'll see you on Alves. Now that we clinched, now we have a little bit more time here to rest some of these guys, our pitchers, especially our relievers. You know, Jose needs some time off. He's been grinding. So he'll get some time off. I need to get Jeremy off his feet. I've been pushing these catchers a lot. So we're going to map it out here where everybody gets a little blow. But we got to keep going. You know, we want to bring this momentum into the postseason.
Who was that person?
Jose.
Who would have thought that Joe Espada needs a tutor from Sean Pendergast?
Wow, what are you doing? Why are you taking shots at Espada?
It's Jose.
Jose. That is a division-winning manager. I need you to calm yourself.
He probably know a little more Spanish than you.
Sean, you need to get with Joe Espada. Help him on that.
Wow. You're telling Joe Espada he needs... See, look, this is the disrespect we're talking about. But yeah, I love the idea that in the next four games that you possibly get an opportunity to rest some guys. We'll talk more about that with our guy Adam Spillane here at 1040, our Astros insider, who I believe was out there for that game. But remember, our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, again... For the seventh time in 8 years.
How about that?
Your Houston Astros, AL West champions. They're now locked in as the third seed, mm-hmm. in the AL. And now we wait because there is some shenanigans afoot when it comes to what that third wild card spot is going to look like and who your ultimate...
Early on, who do you want?
I was looking at it, and as much as I was talking about the Tigers being hot, one of the things that's... They got good pitching. Don't get, mm-hmm. me wrong. But I do wonder if their actual offense is as dangerous as some of the other opponents that are possible. The Royals, the Twins are all in there. Although the Royals have lost a lot of games. Mm-hmm. But I actually might want the rematch with the Tigers when I was looking at this yesterday. So we'll examine that more. And I definitely want to ask Spo from his even more, informed opinion on that. But there you go. AL West champions, once again, Houston Astros. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. We're just getting going on a Wednesday. We'll have a Texas Star Grill Shop giveaway, $50 gift card, coming up later in the program. But coming up next, let's do our question of the day. Inspired by a Houston Texan, if you ever do blank, somebody probably needs to check on you. 713-572-4610. Text in. We'll talk about that next.